The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Evani bivyonde kanani biko karatutilali harabatara kaniana kafi foroditali yalada ivino kome ledi yalada ekeme de kumalika dalagadi dalada ele peperugulu kalagadi malika lalagada ekepuru poto lemere de kapara na liti lagada aprasta viro kopotote dalia even to unveil the two to unveil you too to unveil you too to unveil you too to unveil you too I gri group to fatinatila imole fete mele kapatuta. So I bring you discerning light to divide between lights, to divide between lights. I bring you kapano jifasute vreto tenebanahata, even a sharp sword, even the sharp sword, oh, two-edged sword, even the strength of the word, discerning and piercing into depths that have not been reached. I'm piercing into hollows that have not been known. Even places that have been concealed. Even places that have been concealed. To the operation and working health of the two. Of the two. To bring forth life. To bring forth life. To bring forth life. To bring forth life. Even in your spirit and in your soul. Even in your spirit and in your soul. Even in your spirit and in your soul. To produce a life that ought to be. To give you a life that you ought to have. To give you a life that you ought to receive. For we have come to give life. We have come to give life. Oh! Oh, life, that you may live, that you may live, that you may live, that you may live, that you may live. We have come to treat ticket to fikutita fitatita. Even depth. To treat depth. To skip to tick. If you feel the depth, improve the field in the depth. To wash away. We bring you light. We bring you light that travels far than a man can imagine. Amen. Health for your soul. Health for your soul. We bring the healing balm. We come with health. We come with life. We want to heal. We want to restore. So we come with things for restoration. We come with ingredients of restoration. We come with ingredients to recover, and to make a your healing hole full. To make your healing hole full. Even a hole full. Full healing. That you ought to see the way you should see. And make you know the way you should know. And make you live the way you ought to live. And make you ascend to the heights where you ought to be. So we bring you healing. We have come to heal. We have brought healing. Healing balm. Healing balm. Healing balm. Healing balm. Healing balm. 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 To restore.
Amen. Father, Lord, we receive your word. Lord, we receive light. And every working of the Spirit that will unveil the death of God to us and in us. Lord, we receive healing to bring us wholeness and stability and strength and ability to ascend with you. Lord, to set our heart on pilgrimage, never tiring, never worn out, never exhausted. But Lord, that will cause us to wax strong and go from strength to strength and grace to grace and glory to glory. Lord, we receive the healing balm in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. We're talking about the dawning of God's day. Of course, that's loaded. I don't know if in the course of a week or thereabout, whether that can be exhausted. Praise God. Hallelujah. But whatever the case may be, we'll scratch the surface. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60. Read together from verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 60. One of the things, every time God is speaking to us on the basis of dispensation, on the basis of, you know, God making us discern times and seasons, it's very important that we trust God. You know, let me give an example. The dealing of God that is intended for a particular dispensation can only be understood and experienced when we are able to first discern the times. We must always be able to what? Discern the times. If God is speaking to us about the day of God, then we must be able to discern what the day of God is comprised of. What is it all about? It is then we will be able to walk accurately. It is then we'll be able to respond to the clarion call of heaven. It is then we'll be able to effectively align ourselves. Praise God. We'll be able to align ourselves with the demands and expectations of heaven. So the Bible says, Isaiah chapter 60 from verse 1. Arise. Let somebody say, arise.
Arise.
Shine. You see, those are two commands that go hand in hand. Oftentimes, we want to shine first. But heaven will have us arise first. Let somebody say, I've got to arrive. Arise. You see, don't be in a hurry to shine. Because, you see, the shining of this glory is not the glory that is within the control of the flesh. We can't even touch this glory as long as mortality is alive and active in us. Praise God. You know, there are different dimensions of glory in God. There are different dimensions of glory. But this particular glory, let someone say, the glory of God. We can't touch it until we arise. And you and I know that we do not arise until we die. We must first what? Die. before we arise. So we don't touch the glory without arising. The concept, the biblical concept of arising here, is not just to be awakened in the spirit. Awakening is very powerful. Revival is very powerful. What heaven is doing, from time to time, we will always need revival. I mean, of us, sometimes you just feel exhausted. You just feel you need a fresh fire. So revival remains relevant. Praise God. But what heaven is doing transcends revival. God is doing a work of complete inner transformation. He is redesigning your life, redesigning your ministry. God is doing a work of complete reconstruction, total change. And this time around, sometimes a man will meet with God. I'm talking about that has been shining with the terrestrial glory. And when I say terrestrial glory, a lot of people think that's flesh. Not necessarily. That terrestrial glory might not even be through the ministry. You get what I'm saying? There's a way you encounter God and behold the face of Yahweh, and the work of reconstruction begin. And that reconstruction might start with crumbling. I don't know what I'm saying. We just crumble everything. Everything you have worked for over the years, and yet heaven is glorified. Heaven is at work. It's laying a new foundation. You see, what God is doing with us, everything that is of the former order will crumble. Everything that is what? Of the former order. Every time we behold the face of Yahweh, what begins to happen to us is heaven begins to first invalidate. There are a whole lot that needs to be invalidated in us. That is, there are a whole lot that God needs to cancel out. And by beholding his face, every error and error tendencies, every inaccuracy and disalignment that exists in our nature as a tendency, in our belief system, in our attitude, heaven begins to expose them. So that's the reason why there is no shining without arising first. You know, if we look at the Hebrew word arise, you check the Hebrew context, you see the word kum. And the word kum you see there, like I said, is not just awakening. Is the word revitalize. Is the word to cause to die and bring forth new life. The word arise here is also the word to develop inner stature. To be established. To be laid on foundation that does not pass away. Praise God. You know, oftentimes, everything that happens on the outside and has no root on the inside is of the former order. It's going to pass away. Anything that is based on haste is of the former order. It will crumble and pass away. Everything that is shaky in the day of our God, it will cause his laser glory, the glory of his face, to spot out everything that is shaky. So one of the things the Lord is dealing with in us is our foundation. That's why I say foundation. When I say foundation, I don't mean believers convert foundation class. I'm talking about what make up your essence as a father. What make up the configuration of your marriage, your ministry. So when we talk about foundation, I'm talking about human essence. your belief. What constitutes your belief? The fabric of your belief. Your motive. You know, oftentimes it's not action. That's why the Bible says God doesn't judge by the external. He judges by the heart. So when we talk about art issue, the placement of the art is a foundational issue. And if the foundation is not rightly set, we cannot hold the glory. You see, the word glory here, I say the glory of God shall be revealed, is the word kabod. It means the weightiness of God. You see, a man can be so anointed, but he doesn't have capacity to hold the weightiness of God. So there's a difference between anointing. You could even raise the dead, but lack the capacity. It lacks the purity. It lacks the sacredness of heaven to hold the weightiness of God. And the Lord is resting upon the church. You see, in the day of God, the weightiness of God will be visible even to the nations. Praise God. So God is raising up people who can undo his weightiness. And so that's the reason why we don't shine. The church doesn't shine first until we arise. It will screen through our motive. It will screen through our attitude. It will judge. You see, judgment will begin with us. Because the whole essence of the transformative work of the Spirit and the dealing of God in our lives is that you and I will epitomize light. You see, our receptivity of the light of God is not so that we will be excited of the idea of light. I don't get what I'm saying, Pastor Tosi. It's not just going to be that my light is superior to Pastor Tosi's light. Then I have no clue. Because what light is meant to do, I mean, we all know that light is the unveiling. Praise God. What light is meant to do is to judge competitiveness in me. So the problem of heaven is that corruption has veiled us from the presence of God. And God needs to cut through the veil. If it doesn't cut through the veil, the glory will kill us. You get what I'm saying? He said, no mortal, that's what he said to Moses, no mortal will see my face and live. And you could put that statement in two, the word of God could be, is often a two-edged sword. What that means is that as long as mortality is intact, you are disqualified. It's impossible. If you try it, you'll be dead. You remember Ananias and Sapphira. You know, when we go to that, we want your glory. It is your glory we want. When God brings a measure of it, restricted measure of it, they sold their property on Banana Island and sold it for $850 million. That's a lot. And they brought $500 million and said, here is it. It be like say they try. I don't even get what I'm saying. But you know, in that situation, the Spirit of God is demanding sacrifice and all. So the cuckoo brought it and said, oh, this is all. I said, you mean whore? They said that it is whore. You know, how many times the Holy Spirit has been convicting them about pretense and hypocrisy, and they resist the Spirit of God. You see, in the day of God, some things that we have endured for so long will no longer be permitted. So when we talk about the weightiness of God, the flesh must die. The flesh must give way. We must come to a place where we die to certain affection, to certain ambition, to certain inordinate tendencies. Then we're getting ready. Praise God. Because we cannot see his face as long as we are protective of the flesh. Praise God. We can't see his face as long as we're protective of the flesh. He said, arise and shine. Your light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. We see this through the scripture. Light and glory go hand in hand. Praise God. Light is always in preparation to show forth and cause a blast of his glory. Therefore, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You know the magnitude of the darkness that is resting upon this generation. The darkness that is being lowered from the second heaven is intense. It's intense. The level of promiscuity, the level of wickedness. You know, in our society, you know, I just discovered something. I just happened to stumble at this, the deliberation and legislation of our congressmen at the national level. And I discovered that we're talking about the presidency introducing emergency concerning the issue of ritual killing among the young people. And I was baffled. You know, I've read a couple of things, you know, on the newspaper, but I was baffled that it has become an issue of national discourse. So it must be very bad. You know, I stumbled at one on social media when some guy lost it, came out of a porch and very attractive looking car with a girlfriend, probably with a lady. And it was like he lost it. He said, I've told you guys, I don't want your money again. He was just behaving crazy. Lunatic. Was he lost it. He said, I've told you guys, I don't want your money again. They should stop pursuing me. Stop pursuing me. That tells the level of darkness. Whatever hopelessness. Whatever greed. That brought a lot of young men and women into taking other people's life. I read one, it's crazy. You just can't. I learned, because I read the court proceedings. A guy and his mom killed the girlfriend through the help of a white garment priest, supposed white garment priest, and used her for ritual, for concoction, and they consumed her. You know, it's not just how barbaric that was, but how could you fathom the fact that it was the guy and the mom that connived to perpetrate such wickedness? You just can't understand it. So I say to people, somebody said that our problem is our leaders. They were now legislating about it. Who started it? Who corrupted the young people? And as true as that is, I said, the greater problem, our leaders are a huge problem. But the greater problem is families. How did we allow the devil? I don't even mean the church yet. I'm talking about family as a whole in this nation. How did we allow things completely degenerate, thank you, to the point? So we are the culture. Thrown into the hair. Now you must know that the church is the light of the world. If heaven is going to hold any entity responsible for any ills in the society, it's the church. We are responsible for all of this in the spirit. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We have to take charge in the spirit, in the place of intercession, and not just in the place of interceding as watchmen and women. There's a governmental tower in the spirit. The rule says we have to ascend in growth We have to ascend. We have to ascend in authority to be able to address certain issues. Praise God. There is no room for redundancy. There is no room for stagnation. Praise God. It is time to engage. It's time to engage the knowledge of God. It's time to engage the purpose of God. It is time to press into the day of our God. It is time. Praise God. So, oftentimes, heaven has not called us to debate with the darkness. We know these are the last days. You know, the word gross darkness is taken from the Hebrew word Arafel. And Arafel means darkness being lowered from the heavenlies. So there is the darkness we're seeing today are not normal. There's a spiritual infiltration of darkness in the earth that is bringing about this. Praise God. Now, but the point is that we're not supposed to debate with darkness. No, we're not supposed to engage darkness. You know, well, how do we do? You know the way when somebody wanted to commit suicide and you bring, those experts. And then they begin to say, you think about your mom. How is your mom? Okay, your mom. How old is your mom? Say 75. You see, you're going to bring, don't even forget about your life. You have lost hope. But think about the horror you bring about. They're trying to talk you out of it. You know, you can't talk darkness out of evil. Praise God. No, we can't. The only hope for the nation, the only hope for the world, is for the church to shine. And we're not going to shine until we gain legitimacy in the spirit. We've got to arise before we can lay hold on the glory of God in the day of our God. And as long as flesh is intact in us, we will not gain the legitimacy to lay hold, to be brought into his rest, and to govern with him. Praise God. So we must understand the responsibility that is set before us. We cannot be allowed, we do not gain legitimacy to reign with him and to be entrusted with his cabal, the weightiness of God. You see, out of darkness, judge darkness. You get what I'm saying? If the darkness in our soul is held intact, how are we authorized to judge darkness in the nations? It's not possible. How do we judge darkness? How do we judge works of darkness? You see, this is different from talking to evil spirit. Get out of my home. Get out of my family. Praise God. You need the authority. They check out your authority this time around. So therefore, darkness in us must be judged. We must epitomize light. We should not just fancy light. We seem to be fancying light. Light must work in us. Light must change us. Light must transform us. Light must completely unravel every hidden element within us. Our ambition must be confronted by light. Let me rephrase it. Our vision, because oftentimes we don't hold up easily until God opens our eyes. Our vision must be completely processed by light. Our desire, our ministry, our family, how we're raising our children. You see, when you are wrong as a father, do you admit your error before your children? Because it is not what we say that grooms our children. It is how we live. So when I'm wrong and I don't own up, they see it. So what you're teaching them is that daddies are never wrong. So when you say, I messed up, I made a mistake, I am sorry, That is not right. What I assumed was wrong. I made an error of judgment. That is how to raise godly seeds. Praise God. It says the glory of God will rest upon us. Even the darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. The Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And a time is coming that the Gentiles will come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You see, it's ridiculous when we publicize our light. I don't even get what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. I said somebody that, Pastor Tosin, I've got light here. This light can light up nations. It can change Ilorin. No, we're not called to that. Shine. Let light completely deal with the darkness within our world, our motive, our attitude, our judgment. Let it deal with our presumption. Let light keep working on us, and let begin to spread the light within the sphere of our influence. In a matter of time, Gentiles will see it. In a matter of time, kings will be attracted. You see, let me tell you something. A time is coming, and that time is already coming. It's already here. Somebody told me about a conference they held. There's a friend of mine. She's the head of African Union of United Nations. As a matter of fact, sorry, that was her previous position. Right now, she's number 3 in the administrative cadre. You know, I'm talking about global ranking in United Nations. She said there was a time they called a meeting, and they said, we have engaged all the professors, academic professors. We have engaged political leaders. We was mentioning different people representing different sectors, and the conclusion was that they are all liars. Praise God. So the point then they added, it appears that the only way out is to go back to the foundation by which different society experienced turnaround in the history of the world. And when you look at that foundation, you have to talk about John Wesley. You have to talk about a time when United Kingdom was known that every 6 building is a pub. It's a drinking parlor. A time when every 6 building was a prostitute joint. And God raised a sibling. God raised John Wesley, Charles Wesley, and a quorum. And they stood in the place of prayer and stood in the place of consecration. And the glory of God hit the land. And you know what was happening? Prostitutes would be crying on the streets. Prostitutes. Drunkards would be crying for help. And they were being massively led to Christ. You see, some of those, when you go to United Kingdom, Pastor Patton, a couple of us can testify, Pastor George, when you go to United Kingdom and you see cathedrals, some of those cathedrals, great messages were preached there. Today, there are probably banks, there are probably nightclubs, and all of that, majority of them, because they have emptied out. They once used to be full to the brim. So they're beginning to see that less, and they're tracing it to different move of God in those times. You see, this kind of conference is not common anymore. If we're going to gather people together, just like Reverend Ibinedio was talking this morning, if you're going to gather people together, it will be let's come and take. You're either taking marriage, or taking money, or taking the lives of your enemy. That's the nonsense that takes place here in Africa. People don't come to take God. Praise God. So when you have a gathering and the subject of focus is God, is the day of God, I tell you, that's not common. And that's an indication that heaven has started to work. There's a stirring in the nations. There's a stirring in the body of Christ. We just need to keep pressing and keep believing and keep being faithful to a little that has been given us. There's coming an explosion. And I speak prophetically in the city of Ondo, explosion of truth, explosion of the kingdom. Amen. For thus says the Spirit of God, the Lord is speaking over you, life campaign. The water level is rising. It's rising from ankle, rising to the knee, and rising, it will soon get to the shoulder, and it will soon become overflow. I say in the spirit, a time is coming very soon when life campaign will be full of bishops and be full of great men and women of God, leaders of major mainstream churches and ministries in this town, and they will come and say, Reverend Busuyi, we don't necessarily like your face, but we can't deny the truth. We want God. The Spirit of God is bringing stupor upon the nations. You see, gimmicks and deceit and lying we wear out. Amen. And the heart of man will hunger for God. Amen. All heaven wants is a cry that is coming from a critical mass. Heaven is just demanding for a cry. It's just demanding for a longing, a thirst, and a yearning in the heart of his men and women who love his days. Praise God. Gentiles will come. Kings will be drawn. You won't even know. You will just be doing your own. Serving God. Loving God. Pleasing Him. Touching lives. And Gentiles will come. And kings will be drawn to the brightness of your rising. Harvest is coming. You see, some of these harvests, it's not even just going to, it's when we talk about kings, it's not talking about traditional rulers. I'm sure we know. Kings is talking about people who occupy the places of reckoning and prominence, the places of influence in the systems and sectors, including the church. And they will come. And they will come. You know, kings are influential. The change of one king is going to bring about a ripple effect in a particular system and sector. God is doing the work. Let's give him glory. It's been a great word. And when Reverend Busuyi said it, some of you might think he was joking, that you should be grateful to God to be alive today. You may not be doing excellently well economically. Even that will pass. And no matter what you're going through, shaking and crisis, I sense in the spirit, somebody is feeling that my business seems to be collapsing. Things are not adding up as much again. What is going on? Now I want to please you. Now I'm experiencing shaking. Heaven is at work. The Lord is testing your resilience, your sincerity, the sincerity of your devotion. Praise God. So it doesn't matter what you're going through today. Hold on to Him. Hold on to Him. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. You know, that's what the word of God says. In Matthew chapter 24, it was given us the signs of the times. I read it from verse 3. It says, let's say from verse 4. The disciples were asking, what will be the signs of the end? What will be the pivotal signals regarding the coming of the law and the signs of the end. And the Lord Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So the first instruction the Lord Jesus gave was that we need to take heed. Let somebody say, take heed. The word take heed is taken from the Greek word blipo. It means be discerning. Be discerning. Don't be casual in your judgment. Take heed. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're going to come in his name. And they will point to our Lord that he is Christ. They're not saying that they are Christ. They will point to Jesus that he is Christ. So your judgment should not be based on charisma. Your judgment should not be based on words. What is the spirit? The spirit from where the words are being uttered. The words might be right. Praise God. But the spirit might be contaminating. That you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. We are hearing of war today. There are many, many wars going on. Many wars. But of course, major, now there's a major rumbling among the nations. You know, Russia, Ukraine, you know, crisis and tension. So the Bible says, see that you do not get troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So what is the essence of this deception we're seeing in the body of Christ? What's the essence of the rumblings in the nations? The Bible says in verse 7, for nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. It's going to be scarcity. See the petrol. I'm talking about in the international market is rising. And it's going to affect many, many other things. It was said that for the first time in many decades, food commodity in America is rising. It said there shall be famines and pestilence. There shall be pestilence. The word pestilence is taken from the Greek word loimos. It actually means infection. Viral infection and pest infection. We are having this COVID-19. The word loimos actually means pandemic. That is, it is global. And earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It said, then shall they deliver you to be afflicted. You know, let's go straight to verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. This is not talking about unbelievers. This is the church. And the word iniquity is not sin. Praise God. I honestly feel Reverend Busu is the apostle of two conventions ago, when he taught us about iniquity, transgression, you know, sin, he broke it into pieces. Everybody understood. So iniquity is not necessarily what is overtly wrong. It takes a level of judgment to decipher iniquity. The word iniquity is taken from the word anomia. It means lawlessness. So it's not necessarily what is wrong. It's always subtle. It could easily suck you in. It might even appear right. Iniquity shall abound and the love. So what iniquity is after is our love for God. Our affection. It's not desire for ministry. Iniquity will preserve your desire for ministry. Iniquity could ensure your exploit in the ministry. There are many exploits that are being masterminded in the ministry by iniquity. So we have to be careful what we call exploits. There are many, many, many. You see, kingdoms are built on iniquity. Iniquity shall abound. What iniquity does is to compromise our love for God. So the love of many shall wax cold. It's going to freeze. But the Bible says, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. So it's not easy. Let somebody say, the end. I love it in the scripture that says, now your salvation is near than when you first began. So that means that at the beginning, where what we call our salvation, you have just started. You haven't seen anything called salvation yet. There's still a long way to go. You see, if we're going to come into the day of God, we must be saved to the end. What that means is that we must be saved and be saved and be saved until we overcome iniquity. We must what? Be saved and be saved. The more we are being saved, the more we gain stature. The more the stature, the image of Christ becomes the formation of our heart, the formation of our soul. And then we will overcome iniquity. If we overcome iniquity, we will overcome the dragon. The church that will reign with him will overcome iniquity and overcome the dragon. We will overcome the greatest tactic of Satan and the greatest influence of deception in these last days. Praise God. And ye shall be saved if we will come into the day of our God. We must be saved to the uttermost. It won't happen overnight, you and I know. But the important thing is that we must be saved. Even when we blunder, we must be saved. You see, there's a way the mercy of God brings us salvation. When you make mistake, you see, it's not the mistake, it's the fact, it's the admittance of our error that makes for our salvation. The day of our God never comes until God works out sincerity and honesty in us. Let's look at Acts 3. From verse 19, the Bible says, repent, and ye therefore shall be converted. You see, what brings about conversion is repentance. The word repentance is what metanoia. It means internal shift, to make adjustments in the heart. It doesn't mean that your action and conduct is necessarily right. But whatever error, whatever mistake, and whatever blind sight. You see, when we talk about repentance, it doesn't always have to do with sin. The Lord Jesus said, when the kingdom is going to come, the kingdom comes, the access point of the kingdom is repent. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Because if there is no repentance, there is no entrance into the kingdom. And if we do not enter the kingdom, we can't come into the day of our God. So we must repent. We must repent. Every truth brings us into repentance. Unveiling every truth, of every truth, upgrade our perception. Is to have us do away with the former. Truth delivers us from what? The former. The old. Repent. Repent. Every time there is repentance, conversion occurs. Conversion takes a lot. The word conversion is taken from the word epistropho. And the word epistropho means to be twisted inside out. It takes the power of God to change us. Conversion to align us with His will. Willpower cannot achieve it. It is repentance that triggers the power of conversion. Then he says, your sin will be blotted out. You see, Jesus has paid for our sin. But you see, there's something about the sin nature that configures the soul that we must overcome. Praise God. Then the times of refreshing will come from the presence of our Lord. Verse 20. And he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. Praise God. He shall what? Send Jesus. Because when we don't deal with the kingdom, we cannot deal with the coming of the law. And we're talking about the coming of the law. Inner conversion matters. Inner conversion what? Matters. Internal transformation is key to the coming of the Lord. Whom the heaven must receive until when? The times of restitution of all things. When the Bible says heaven must receive, we must understand what the word of God is trying to say to us. The word receive is taken from the Greek word dikomei. And the word dikomei means heaven must retain him. Heaven must trap him. So that suggests what the Lord Jesus actually wants to come. He wants to establish his kingdom in the earth. He wants the first earth and the first heaven to pass. He wants to come and show forth the totality of his governing. But heaven traps him until the time of what? Restitution. Apokatastasis. That's a word that twists my tongue. Apokatastasis. That's restitution of work. It means reconstruction. You see, what needs to be reconstructed is you and I. We are the temple of God. If we do not experience constant reconstruction and realignment, the glory of God will not come. The kabod of God will not come. We will not be brought into his reign. This is what the prophets point to and spoke about. This is what the kingdom is about. That the government of our God and the reign of our God will be implemented and entrenched in the earth. But there must be reconstruction. Reconstruction. What that means, that God has got the blueprint. Isn't that so? He's got the prototype. So that means we must experience the download of the prototype. That's the whole essence of the mysteries of God. The unveiling of the prototype. As it is in heaven, it's to open our eyes to what it is in heaven. As it is in heaven, our eyes will not be open if our heart is not fine-tuned. If our heart is not right. Because as it is in heaven is a mystery that needs to be unsealed. And our heart must be right before him. Before we can gain insight and access to as it is in heaven. The work is in us. That's why I said the work is in me. We must be reconstructed. We must be reformatted. We must be confronted by the truth. We must change daily. The truth must confront our every inaccuracy and error tendency in us. The eyes of our perception must be enlightened. We must change. The veil must be ridded of us. It is only then the kabod of God will come and rest upon us, his people. It is only then we will be the church that will showcase the kingdom and manifest his power and bring deliverance to the nations. Praise God. The end will not come. Our Lord will not reign. You see, it's not only the spirit that will beckon. The bride. The spirit and the bride. The spirit is the witness of the Father. And he's saying, come, O Lord. Come, O Lord. But the bride must be awakened. Let's look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. That's what he said, there was no more sea. You know, sea speaks of many things. Sea speaks of body of knowledge. Sea speaks of nature. Remember in the book of Revelation, it said many seas. Praise God. Like rumbling and agitations. It's talking about multitudes, people, nations. No more sea. Culture will lose its potency. Philosophies of this world will lose its old racism, and everything that caused divides will lose its grip. You see, when the first heaven and the first earth collapse, sea will disappear. Praise God. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What is going on here is the adorning of the bride. What makes the bride unique? It's not just that. Yes, the bride is unique because is of the female gender. Is able to reproduce after the kind of our husband. What makes the bride unique? The uniqueness of the bride is actually the word bride is taken from the Greek word rumphe. Hope I'm right, rumphe. Rumphe means a woman that is betrothed to a man. So it's not a girlfriend. Praise God. They paid your bride price, and you are being handed over. The family recognizes you. I tell you, that's the concept of the bride of Christ. Betrothed. So we have lost control. We have relinquished control to the spirits. Every day. We're handing over the control all the more every day. All the more we're handing over the control all the more every day. And sometimes it makes you feel stupid. Sometimes you see the whole concept of our bridehood is attached to our dying. When you lose your pride, it's painful and you cry, you die. Sometimes they take your right from you and you let go. God will let you let it go. Sometimes it's insult. Let it go. Do not utter a word. We say at some point, you want to defend yourself. You want to defend your honor. At the time when you're defending yourself, it's still flesh that is speaking. Sometimes we say it is integrity. It is not integrity. There's a pride of life. I say, nobody will ride on my honor. My good intention will not be rubbish. And God's saying, hold it. Hold it. hold it. Then you die. It's painful. Then you die. You see, every time we die, something is taken from us. Every time we die, something is added to us. And it is through our dying on a day-to-day interactivity with the Spirit of God that heaven rids us of corruption. Heaven rids us of dishonor. Heaven rids us of weakness. And if corruption is taken from you, incorruption is replaced. And if dishonor is taken, honor is given a dignity. And if weakness is taken, power. You see, God is raising a generation of people who wield power. They wield power with God. Power with God. And when we talk, when you see the entity and a company who are power with God in the heavens, when you see them in the earthly expression, you'll be shocked. It's just the description of that was given to the Lamb that overcome. He's worthy to open the seal. Heaven is raising a company as a second witness that will open the seal. The seal of the mysteries of God. And they're going to be people of no reputation. You see, when the conqueror appeared, the only description given to him is like a lamb. You know, a sheep is not like a goat. You see, human intellect in us is like a goat. You see, that's a ram. Very stubborn. He must have his way. Whether you like it or not, he's got to have his way. But when you talk about a sheep cannot fight back. A sheep cannot resist. A sheep is not streetwise. In fact, when you open the yard, a street does not have the smartness to escape. When you lock up the goat, he must find a way. And that's the human nature in us. And God is saying that not even just a sheep, it's a lamb. It's a lamb. You see, light must convert us daily. And we are becoming like a little child. You see, what God is demanding from us is not capability. What God is demanding from us is not how many people that can hold the microphone and tussle with Reverend Busui. I said we can pray. We can equal Reverend Busui in revelation. What God is demanding for is how many people are tender in the spirit. We must be converted and become like a child before we can enter the kingdom. Praise God. So he's like a lamb. No, as if that's not enough. As a lamb that was slain. Because make us that. Where you have no strength to tussle. No ability to wrestle. So when it comes to slander, and when it comes to backbiting, or when it comes to whispering, you are a novice. The accusation you will hear, and you pretend as if you never heard it. That's what God is turning us into. Say, worthy to open the seal. God is raising a church in the likeness of the Lamb of God. That be worthy to open the seal. Let's finish this. We wrap up with it. Let's go back to Revelation 21. So I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them
and be their God. So you see, it's just simple. He wants to receive a bride to himself. He wants to make a bride of you and I. As he succeeds at that, then the tabernacle of God is completed. Because the process of our bridehood is the process of our reconstruction and reconstruction. And we become his tabernacle. Then he can rest his glory in us. He said, I will be with them. But you know, the process is not easy. And then the Bible says that, verse 4 now, and God shall wipe away all tears. It's going to take with tears. It's going to take with tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. You see, we have to go through tears. That's the process. It's not easy. Praise God. It's like, you know, there was a man called by the name Samuel Doe. The way when he was caught, very terrible, atlas dictator in Liberia. When he was caught, this is how he was killed. They cut his finger, cut another one. They were cutting him in bit until they finished cutting the last part of him. He was mutilated alive. No, they didn't shoot him. Pula. Because they look at the magnitude of wickedness he has perpetuated. They cut him in bit. So that's how they're going to cut self in you. It will mutilate you and cut a bit of self. A bit of it. A bit of it. A bit of it. A bit of it. It's going to be with tears. But God's going to give you the grace to let go. And let go. Now the implication, the consequence of our dying process is that we will overcome death. You know, the death is a final enemy. So in our cutting, in the mutilation of self, there are many, many enemies we will overcome. He said that the Bible says that, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Then he says, how will he do it? He says, he will send forth the rod of his power out of Zion. You see, Zion church is not a church that is flooded by knowledge. That a lot of time we always assume. Zion church is known by dying. He's given up his will for the will of God. That is how the enemy will be overcome. Then you will be entrusted with the staff by which the government of God, we will reign in the day of God, is going to come. Is entrusted to the Zion church. We are becoming that church. He said, no more weeping, the tears will be wiped, and you will die no more. That is the crescendo of the day of our God. Death has no hold. Death has no claim. That your actions and conduct and your choices are void of death. The decaying process ceases over you. And that is the church that is rising. That is the church that will trigger the collapse of the first heaven and trigger the collapse of the first earth. That is the church in whom the second heaven and second earth will be delivered. And we must come. You know, you have to notice that. It said, came down from God. You see, the only thing we must desire going forward must be God. Now, when I say that, that's not to say that for students, leave your school because you desire God. That you have mixed things up. And don't be deceived. God can actually tell somebody to leave school. Yes. I don't know if you get it. Yes. God can authentically tell somebody to leave school. As far as school is concerned, that's not your path. I'm done with you. If you go that route, you will die. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. The seed of God in you will die. I've not chosen that to come out of it. And 10 years after, you'll be more intelligent than the best that the school can produce. Yes.
So not that you'll be laid back and you'll be so ignorant and you'll be... No. Now, the fact that God asked somebody to come out of school does not mean you should come out of school. But what we're saying is that everything else, every knowledge and achievement, every other thing we attempt must be scrutinized by the God content. But how do we have that, come to that level of discernment and judgment when we have not grabbed God? The desire for God must transcend, must completely transcend every other desire. It's got to transcend competitiveness and transcend, you know, every other thing. The longing to be wealthy and the longing to be successful. You see, some of us, we have issue in our background where certain words were spoken at me that I won't amount to anything. Even though I'm doing well, I'm reading my book, everything I'm doing it to prove a point. And each one of us have one level of dysfunctionality or the other. Yours may be different from mine. So we need God to cure us. The only thing that brings about our healing is the water of life that is pure like crystal. And we will have that only in Him, the unveiling of God. It's what brings about the water of life. You know, in the beginning, the Lord spoke to us about healing balm, and that it's going to heal us. And that's what the Lord is doing tonight. He's healing us. And the Lord is healing every fear and rejection. Everything that is dysfunctional in our foundation, the water of life is resolving it. Amen. So your sacrifice will be authentic. Amen. Your struggle and your pursuit will be pure. Your heart is being purified. Let's rise up. Heaven is purifying our heart, our intent, our desire, our longing. It's doing a work. It's doing a work. It's purging. Our great high priest is purifying, is purging, and is giving us access to drink of the water, access to dive in the ocean. Oh, Shatakaba Sede, Yekale Kobo Sedekoba, Yekate Kobo Sede. Oh, Baba, Sede. Yekate Kabo Sede. Yekate Kabo Sede Goba. Oh, Baba, Seteke. Yekate Kabo Sede Goba. Eh, Baba, Sede. Yekate Kabo Sede. Yekate Kabo Sede. Oh, Baba.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.